Hello, friends. How's it going? Welcome to the podcast. Before we get started with our show today, let me remind you about a couple partners of the podcast. First up, Prepped Ready Meals. Prepped and Ready, they offer healthy meals delivered straight to your door. All you have to do is pop them in the microwave. They're good to go. They deliver in all of Metro Atlanta area. They just partnered with a fitness app called Fit Genie to make deliveries even easier. Go to PreppedReadyMeals.com, use code BINGE10 at checkout for 10% off your order. That's BINGE10 for 10% off your order. Everybody loves healthy meals. Everybody loves meal planning. Well, now you can do it all in one. Go check these guys out. Support them again one more time at BINGE10 at checkout, PreppedReadyMeals.com. Our other friends are our friends over at Rebel Boudoir. Have you ever wanted that boudoir session and needed the little nudge to finally do it? Well, now you do. Our listeners will get an automatic discount of $100 off their session fee when they book a session with Jillian at Rebel Boudoir. These sessions make an awesome, unique gift for your wedding day, anniversary, birthday, or it's just an excuse to rock that bod you've got. Go check out Jillian's work for reference on her Instagram at Rebel Boudoir or her website, rebelboudoirstudio.com. Mention us in your inquiry to get that discount. It's a great investment and an experience you definitely won't forget. And now, welcome to the show. Going, everybody. It's episode 158 of the Binge Boys. I don't know what the hell that was. I think Mitch's mic was making a noise, and I think he like bent over to try to see what it was, but he like fell out of his chair.
some good remote podcasting.
Oh man, that's remote podcasting at its finest. Hopefully Mitch gets back in here in a second. But yeah, Mitch and Matt joining me as always. What up, Matt?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Good, good. All transparency here. We're recording this. We're recording this on Mitch. Are you okay? Out of your chair.
I almost. I've got like a bench set up, so it's there's no back to it, and so I lean back, and it just started tipping. So I just almost fell over there.
Got a bail.
Oh my god. Yeah, so transparency, guys. We're recording this on Sunday, December 13th. Matt is doing a little bit of holiday stuff here in a couple weeks, so we decided to get this epi out of the way early, which is great. Although I realize it'll be interesting what we'll do. We might have a delayed reaction to the finale of The Mandalorian, which is fine. We'll put that out the following week, when we discuss things after Christmas, but we'll discuss our Mandalorian finale thoughts on that episode, which is cool because that's going to be the beginning of the end of the 2020 episodes. And this is kind of the first that, we're incorporating a finale list in. We're going to be doing a lot of lists. And I asked a lot of people for feedback this week, and a lot of people said that they like the lists.
So they're excited for these next few episodes. Yeah.
Those eat up a chunk of the episodes. So people like lists from us. First of all, besides almost falling out of your fucking chair there, Mitch, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. That would have been, pretty, I mean, it was hilarious. I was laughing when it happened.
Oh man. So today's episode's a little different. We don't have any quickies because obviously we're recording this a week in advance, so we don't know what's happening. Next episode, however, although next episode that we record, however, previous episode that you listened to, we're spending a fat chunk of that episode probably talking a lot about Disney's Investor Day. So just be prepared for that.
They've already heard it.
Hope you enjoyed it. I can't wait to talk about it personally. I think it's going to eat up a chunk of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Is why we decided to kind of rope some stuff into this episode. Yeah, it might be a week late, but we don't want to sit there tomorrow night when we're recording this We don't want to sit there in front of the mic for 2.5 hours talking about Disney's Investors Day, all the albums that came out, a movie. We don't want to do that because that's just too much for us. And honestly, no one wants to listen to that. We're not Joe Rogan.
Nope.
No one's listening to us for 3 hours.
You're not smoking DMT over there, Logan. No, not that I know.
Elon Musk isn't over here doing drugs with me. Like we're not doing anything like that. So, so this week we're going to just talk about some of our holiday plans for the year, kind of our wrap up of 2020. We're going to review some albums from Taylor Swift, Kid Cudi, and Jack Harlow. And then wrap it up with our top 10 most anticipated movies of 2021. So I guess we'll start off right off the bat. Matt, you're the one traveling. You're the one that's making us do this, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Might as well explain it to the people.
Yeah, what you got going on?
Yeah, so I guess this past Friday, as you're listening to it, I went back to my parents to do like an early Christmas with them. And then on the day this is released, it's actually my mom's birthday. So happy birthday, Mom. And then
Mama Matt.
Yep. Then that's up in Chicago. And then tomorrow we're heading back to where I live now in Indianapolis to start the Christmas festivities with my girlfriend's family for like the actual day of. We just alternate back and forth year to year. So that's basically it, man. Nothing too crazy. Just the dual family stuff. Always makes it fun to do. What are your plans looking like, Logan?
Shout out to my mother who just tried to FaceTime me. Not her birthday, but it was my father's 50th birthday last. I guess recording this 2 days ago, but a week ago or so from when people listen to this is weird. This is like an Inception type show.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on?
I have a calendar up just to make sure I'm saying the right things.
Maybe that's the smart move. Maybe I'm going to do that. yeah, my dad's 50th birthday on the 11th. Him and my mom went down to Florida, kind of did a little them two by themselves, took a little road trip, celebrated there. It was their 25th wedding anniversary a couple days prior. And then I guess they kind of roped it together and kind of took a little, just a mom and dad vacation. Not something that they were able to ever really do, I guess, raising three kids. Never were able to take a trip by themselves until now when they're empty nesters. So shouts to them. Shouts to you, Dad. You old man. but yeah, for me, I don't think we're doing any traveling. Holidays this year, kind of weird, obviously, COVID. We haven't traveled really for Christmas the past couple years, but this year especially. We are supposed to do something next week in Illinois as well. My brother and sister go to college in Illinois, and the same weekend that my parents were going to go pick them up from college, my mom's side of her family were going to do like a family gathering on Christmas Eve or something, the weekend before Christmas Eve, but some of our family members have really young newborns, and obviously the grandparents were going to be in town, so they just kind of decided, hey, we'll just keep it kind of low-key this year, we'll do something another time. So I was going to travel next week, but as of right now, I'm just chilling, and I'll be even more transparent. Hopefully by the time this releases, she's okay. But shout out to Catherine because she's got COVID.
Ooh,
tough. Yeah, she do. She's been battling it since Monday of this week. Monday the 7th of December. She's been fighting it. It's the noise back.
It is shit.
What is that?
I don't know. It must be my laptop.
Are you rocking the... Yeah, and now it's gone. Yeah. Because he muted himself. That's weird. It must be the microphone.
Something,
R.I.P.
yeah.
R.I.P. to Mitch. I hope he doesn't have to keep joining in and out. That sucks.
It would be a pain.
It would be a pain for him, but it be that way sometimes. Anyway, she's got COVID. She tested positive the other day. I went and got myself tested the other day. Came up negative. I'm good. I don't feel any... I don't feel any symptoms or anything. I just thought it would be smart just in case to go get myself tested. Weird, for sure. the testing that they did this time around. My mom got COVID way back when COVID kind of started kicking off, like early summer. And when I got a test, I drove up through a drive-thru and the doctor or whatever applied the test to me themselves. But this time around, I went to like a CVS to get tested, and they made me go into almost like a bigger porta potty, like a small hut. I guess that's the best way I can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse gave me my own swab, and she said that I needed to swab myself, which was horrifying. The doctors do it, and you're like, okay, you're the doctor, you have to do it. But the fact that you had to stick your own swab up your own nose in a uncomfortable way, it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
I could stop complaining. People have died from it. I'm doing okay. I didn't have any symptoms. But yeah, so she's recovered. So hopefully she's okay by Christmas. I think she will be. She has a whole week and a half to get through before Christmas. She's kind of on the up and up. I just FaceTimed her before we started recording, and she's doing a bit better. So I don't think we're doing anything really. I mean, we're probably just going to go to my parents' place, me and Catherine, my siblings and my parents, and just keep it quiet this year. Unfortunately, I like big family gatherings. I'm a big family guy, but you know, that's 2020 for us. So, yeah, so I think that's my holidays, I guess. And then, nothing for New Year's on my end. What's you got going on for the holidays there, Mitch?
Well, we are just kind of, I'm at home, and just, we're going to do stuff at home with the fam, you know. My brother and sister are back. So, normally we do like a gathering at my grandparents' house, but this year we're kind of like a big family gathering there and do like dinner and stuff like that. But, this year we're just going to do everything at our own homes and do Christmas that way. So, looking forward to it, looking forward to just hanging out and just chilling basically is mostly what we'll be doing. So, yeah, not much on my end. No traveling plans or anything like that. Nothing too fancy. So,
yeah. Are you guys, this is a random question that just popped in my head. I don't know why I thought of this. Are you guys, does your family keep on the Christmas story on TBS all day? Or do you guys maybe watch it once and you're like, okay, like by lunch, are you like, get the shit off? Like, we've watched it by now.
Yeah. We're pretty much all day. Yeah, pretty much all the time at my parents, it's going. But yeah, usually about the 1:30, 2 o'clock, it's like, all right, we're just gonna turn it off.
Yeah, when I'm at my grandparents, it stays on the entire day. But I have a feeling at home, now that we're like gonna be doing Christmas at home, that it'll be on until probably like noon, and then we'll change it to something else. We'll probably put in Christmas Vacation and then have that playing.
There you go.
So,
yeah, I hear you. I don't know. Like, if we were at my grandparents' house, I think the same thing for like Mitch said, just all day. Like, because my grandparents' house, they had like a den that had its own like TV, kind of like a smaller living room. Mm-hmm. But then they had the main living room. As a kid, they would always just leave Christmas Story on in like the den, and whoever wanted to watch it could just go over there and check it out. But no, I think Mitch's strategy there is probably what we're going to do. We'll probably watch it twice and then be like, okay, like we can only take the ho, ho, ho so many times. So we're going to probably throw on some Christmas Vacation. Do you guys do any like holiday traditions? Like, is there anything in your family specifically, maybe not the big family, but like your family, like for example, Christmas Eve, my family would always watch the Polar Express. Like, we would have dinner that night, and then we go and watch Polar Express just as a family. No phones, leave phones in the other room, and just kind of unplug and just spend time together. and watch the Polar Express. Maybe we'll go to like a gas station or Walgreens and get a bunch of like cheap candy boxes and just pig out for the night and then go to bed. And I don't know, Matt, do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have an older sister.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I was going to say, even in my age of my brother and sister being, I guess technically they're adults now, they still wake my ass up at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day. Like, come on, dude. And I'm just like, we're adults.
Yep.
Let me sleep till at least 8.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely transitioned to us for the we have a set time that we're going to like be down. That's, you know, a reasonable hour. Yeah, like 8 o'clock. It's never the 5:30 get roused out of bed. We used to, my sister and I used to make breakfast for our parents, like, and I mean, like, we were kids, like cereal. That was making breakfast. Maybe heat something up in the microwave.
You'd be like, but, here's your Frosted Flakes, Mom.
Yeah. Hope you like it. But yeah, nothing too crazy like Christmas traditions. We're actually kind of starting one since with like my immediate family. There's like 6 of us now from oh, Mitch.
You're gonna have like 5 minute spurts.
Yeah, yeah.
That's gonna fucking suck.
Yes, yeah, so there's 6 of us. So it's like last year we did like gifts like for everybody, and then we were all just like, all right, well, that's not like, you know, too much, but like we're just doing like secret Santa. So we each just have like one person to like get like all the gifts for. And so that'll be a cool new tradition. I'll report back on it in the next episode.
Cool. Yeah, we'll probably do a Christmas in summary. Christmas and fun as another podcast would
put. There you go. This Christmas and fun.
Cool. Let's get to some music. We got some music this week. A few kind of bombshell releases, similar to Folklore. Taylor Swift just out of nowhere was just like, oh yeah, I decided to keep writing songs even after Folklore was released. So here's Evermore. A new album called Evermore, and it dropped on Friday. It had, I think, like 15 songs or so on it.
Yes, I want to say 14 and then one on like the deluxe edition or whatever. Sure.
So, this is kind of like the companion, I guess, to Folklore. I like the vibe. First off, I like the album cover a lot.
Yep.
I liked Folklore's album cover a lot as well. Just different for Taylor Swift because they're usually just like a very poppy, generic album cover from her. But like the album covers, like sneaky, don't get recognized as much as they should.
Agreed.
Because especially in these two album covers from her this year, you can see the maturity that she's like gained over the past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And like the struggles that she's gone through. Like it's, like these two albums were very mature.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I would agree.
So we'll just jump right into Evermore. Matt, what's your, I know you're a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm decent, man. She's been working me back in. Like I think kind of like my low point with her was the Reputation. The like, look what you made me do. It's just not one I like. Yeah. Just the whole like Kim, Kanye, Taylor Swift beef. It was just like blown out of proportion. It was just like too much like going on. But then like her last album, Lover, or I guess two albums ago now, Lover had a lot of good songs. I felt like she was sort of working back into being just like an artist. And less of like a celebrity, if that makes sense. And definitely Folklore was definitely a lot closer to artists. And then Evermore is just kind of following up on that same note. You can tell that the songs were written like around the same time. It's got the same vibe. When I gave Evermore its first listen, I actually listened to all of Folklore just to get in the right like mindset. And then Evermore like fit snugly in there. Yeah, man, I really dug it. I think it'll be in the rotation for a while. What do you think about it, Mitch?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this album. I would have to say I didn't listen to Folklore as much. I listened to a couple of tracks from that album, mostly the Bon Iver song Exile. Mm-hmm. And after listening to this album, Evermore, I kind of like, I haven't, my history with Taylor Swift is very limited. Like I haven't really like listened to a lot of her music, I guess I would say, but I can definitely see that from like the hits that would play on like the radio and stuff like that. Like she's grown as an artist and she's changed like her style to kind of like go with the times, I guess. And mm-hmm. also like there's a lot of different genre type tracks on this album, I thought. Like yeah. she touches a lot of different bases in different styles. And I honestly, my biggest takeaway from this album is just, I love her and Bon Iver, Justin Vernon. Just that, like that combination is huge. Like they work really well together and their style of music is really good. Shout outs to my brother on this because he's like, he immediately texted me before this album came out. He's like, oh my God, Bon Iver. Cause he's like like Justin Vernon's biggest fan. he basically like, he was telling me, he's like, oh my God, Bon Iver is going to be on the new Taylor Swift album. And then that was for Folklore. And then like a day or two ago or before they released this album, he like was texting me and saying Taylor Swift is dropping another album and Bon Iver is going to be on it.
He's so back,
he was like super hyped and just, that's all he wants is just more Bon Iver tracks. Cause that's like his artist that he's found like within the past like year and a half that he's just like fallen in love with. So, yeah, I enjoy this album. I'll probably keep, I think I kept some of these songs. And I just love the title track Evermore. That's pretty much all I have to say on it. What do you got, Logan? What were your thoughts on this album?
Well, first of all, I'm really thankful that you've been saying this man's name because I've been out here calling him Bon Iver.
Oh, Logan.
I know. Call me trash. It is what it is. But yeah, I listened to it a couple times just to really kind of like try to get the feel for it. I thought Folklore was good. I gave it a 3 out of 5 at the time. Just because Taylor Swift, like, it's complicated because these two albums are probably the most, or like one of them, if or they are among, if not the most discussed pieces of music this year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be the guy that's going to go and shit on it. It's just not my type of music. However, I do agree with Mitch. I love how much she's matured as an artist. I think that goes a long way. And I think she's going to have an incredible time at the Grammys this year. I think she's going to knock it out of the park for all of the music that she's released this year. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the song Champagne Problems.
That was a good one.
I really liked Evermore, the title track as well, with Bon Iver. What is it?
Bon Iver.
Okay. I enjoyed No Body, No Crime.
That's what I was going to bring up. I like that one. That's just an old female country song.
Yeah,
that could have been written any time in the last 50 years.
I was going to say that it sounded very, just a very old style country song to me too, but I couldn't listen to it. That I listened to that one once. I listened to every other track multiple times, but that, because that song, like for me was just like, what is she talking about? What is the story? Like I was more like, just like, I couldn't wrap my head around like the story that she was trying to tell for that track. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It was It was weird, but it wasn't a bad song. It was just something that I couldn't listen to more than once.
Yeah, I dug it. I dug the album as a whole. I'm gonna keep them just so I can keep. I'm keeping both of them. I'm giving them both 3 out of 5s. Although I think I liked this one a little more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that the unpopular opinion, Matt? Do you like Folklore more? What you
think? I really don't feel like you could, like, I personally don't feel like I can, like, separate them and say, like, one more than the other. Cause, like, together it feels like this from the same, like, catalog, like, of work. So I don't know if I had to go just like songs, but also we've had Folklore a little bit more. So I was going to say that some of those songs are a little bit more memorable, but I mean, as we're recording this, the album's been out for 4 days. So it's hard to know what's going to be memorable, like, in a couple months or so.
That's one of my problems with, like, or not a problem of mine, but just like a, like, whenever I'm making like a top 10 albums list of the year, like, I feel bad putting an album out on the list that comes out in December. Cause it's like, okay, like, part of the way I rank those lists is like, what did I listen to the most this year?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what had staying power
and stuff. Yeah. Like, what's the staying power? And I'm keeping both of the albums for that reason. Like, I want to see how the songs grow on me. Cause in 6 months I could be like, you know what? Folklore and Evermore are instant classics.
Mm-hmm.
And they might already be in a lot of people's eyes, but yeah, I mean, that's my thoughts. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it by any means. Again, my biggest thing about Taylor Swift this year is how much she's changed and matured as an artist. Ever since that documentary on Netflix came out about her, what, like a year ago or so?
About then, yeah. I haven't gotten around to watching it yet, but I've heard nothing but good things.
It's actually very good. And I gained a lot of respect for her from that. Nice. 'Cause I used to be just like this dude that just fucking hates Taylor Swift. It was kind of like a bit. Like, I don't even like have a reason to hate her. Like, it was just like a Logan hates Taylor Swift thing. Like, it was just a bit. Like,
that is what it is.
My new bit is that I hate James Corden. The other day we were talking about James Corden. I was like, fuck that guy, dude. Like, why is he in everything now?
Remember what we talked about him on last episode and with the prom? Ha ha.
Ha ha, yeah. Really enjoyed that when we talked about that last week, huh?
This episode's getting too meta.
Then let's move right along into Man on the Moon 3 by Kid Cudi. I'll go ahead and say first up that I'm not even a huge Kid Cudi guy. I respect the classics that he's given us, like, and anybody who's played either Watch Dogs or Grand Theft Auto, the day and night, like, when you're driving, whoa, like, whoa, in GTA, that shit just hits different.
Yeah.
But I'm not a huge Kid Cudi guy. However, I fucking enjoyed the shit out of this album, man. This is my kind of style, I guess. Like, the whole album felt like I was driving, like, just down like a straightaway. It's dark out, like, it's trippy. It kind of sounded like Astroworld. I got big Travis Scott vibes from it. I know Travis Scott and Kid Cudi did that song this year, the Scots. Please release an album together, please. I need a Kid Cudi and Travis Scott album. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. And all my friends, our group chat was blowing up on Friday with just talking about this. I really enjoyed the song Tequila Shots. I think that's all my friends' favorite songs. That's the first song, mm-hmm, besides the intro. I really liked Show Out with Pop Smoke. How are all these dead rappers getting verses on songs? What's going on here? Did they just pre-record a shitload of stuff?
And it's having the can.
Like, what, did they just hit up the production team and ask them if Pop Smoke has any unused stuff? I assume that's how it works.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, I'd imagine if they didn't have it already, like, pre-recorded, like, in their own catalog of music, like you guys were saying, that they probably, I mean, this album's probably been in production for a while.
True.
So, I mean, I can't remember when Pop Smoke passed. That was like last year, right? I think it was like last year, but he probably like had like stuff already done. And if they didn't like contact and like with like show up with Kid Cudi or whatever before he passed away, then they probably like reached out and got like recordings from him, like from his catalog. And like, I don't know, like this album was really good. I'm just going to flow into my review real quick.
Go for it.
Before you take on, Pop Smoke passed February 19th of 2020.
Oh, it was this year.
It was like
it feels like a long time ago now.
2020's been a long one.
Long year.
It has been a long year, dude. Oh, man. Well, RIP. But I enjoyed this album. I listened to this album while I was driving, doing my job or whatever, driving, just delivering shit. And you're right, Logan, like this album, like for just driving, whether it's the daytime or nighttime, cause I listened to this when I was driving at night too, is just like, you just like become entranced in listening to them, into the tracks, and just, the production is so well done on this. And some of my favorite tracks were Dive, Mr. Solo Dolo. I don't know, man. Like this was just a solid album. I don't even know. I'm like speechless at what to really say on this, because I haven't listened to a lot of Kid Cudi. Like, I listened to Day and Night, and like the remix with MGMT and stuff, and like that's really like that, and maybe a few other tracks. Pursuit of Happiness, I guess that was the one that he did with MGMT, now that I'm thinking about it.
Not that with Kid Cudi, damn.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, this album was just it was a banger. I think I gave it a 5 out of 5, man. This one was good.
I really enjoyed it. I'll piggyback off what Mitch said real quick, because I thought of it. It's like the sound was like a tractor beam. It sucks you in. And once you're listening, especially like Mitch said, when you're driving and listening to it, because I listened to it the other night while driving, it's almost like this is going to sound cheesy as fuck, but it's like it literally like transported me into a different dimension. I really enjoyed it, man. My favorite song was definitely the one, though, with Trippy Red, Rockstar Nights.
Yeah. That's my favorite as well.
There's a verse where Kid Cudi just starts spitting. And I was like, I was listening to it at my desk while I was working. And I was like, let's go. And the people around me were like, are you okay? And I was like, Kid Cudi just went off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I fucking loved it. Matt, I saw that you gave it a little bit lower of a rating. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So, and it's tough to do this because I feel like maybe just like my expectations were high, but I was a decently big fan of the first two Man on the Moon albums. I feel like I listened to it at very like formative times in terms of like my taste and stuff. And when I listened to those, they weren't really similar to anything else I had heard. So it just sort of feels like at this point, Kid Cudi's doing less innovating and is being like inspired by others. And that's, you know, it's tough to call that unoriginal. But that's sort of where the lower score came to mind. And like, it did very much sound like a Travis Scott album. And it's like, well, if I wanted to listen to a Travis Scott album, I wouldn't listen to, you know, the highly anticipated new Kid Cudi album. I think near the back half of the album is where I was definitely getting more into it. Some of the features, like you were talking about with Trippy Red, and then for whatever reason, Phoebe Bridgers hops on a song there. Just, you know, sad girl Phoebe Bridgers on the track.
It was still, that's a good track though. Like,
it is good. Yeah. Yeah. As I'm talking about it, and as I'm looking at it, I'm leaning more closer to a 4 out of 5, but because I, you know, looking at it for what it is instead of like what it could be or what I wanted it to be. But yeah, I'll give it another list. I'll definitely keep Rockstar Knights in the rotation. Yeah, that's a good one. And yeah, man, just good to know Cuddy's making more music. I think I even saw he's releasing, he has like another album like on deck for 2021. Yeah. And like some kind of Netflix thing involved with that. So that'll be cool.
What's yeah, with Netflix hopping on top of all these artists and just making documentaries about it?
I don't know, man.
I don't know, but Kid Cudi's been in some, he was in Westworld this past season. And I had to like, he was also in another HBO show. My brother told me, We Are Who We Are. He was apparently, I haven't seen it either, but he's apparently in that show as well. So he's been doing some acting stuff on the side. So he's been a busy guy.
Yeah, he was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it's saying. I'm not remembering.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's one of the, oh, shit. He's one of the, like, he plays one of the criminal guys.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember like his, he had like a name to him, like they gave all their, like their, what do they call it on Brooklyn Nine-Nine or like
perps or like a, yeah, some kind of bandit.
Yeah. Like some kind of bandit name. Like he had like a tagline name that you would remember him by, but I remember him in that, in an episode or two on Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well.
Nice.
But yeah, I was like super surprised when he showed up in Westworld. He was one of the main character, Aaron Paul, his, kind of like his whole Aaron Paul's character dilemma involved, his friendship with Kid Cudi's character, who I can't remember his character's name, but, yeah, that had like a whole entire kind of like arc throughout the entire Westworld season, which was pretty damn good. Look forward to that in a future list for best shows that came out this year, whenever that comes out.
Nice.
Happening again, man.
Damn.
It was going on for a while. We were almost in the clear. Yeah, so that's Kid Cudi's album there. We all enjoyed it to an extent, so big shouts to Cudi for putting out a solid piece of music this year. And finally, in terms of music, an album I didn't know was coming out, nor did I really care. Jack Harlow, the What's Poppin' guy.
Yeah.
So Jack Harlow dropped his debut album, which was called That's What They All Say. It came out and it had 15 songs on it. He had features.
Good features.
Lil Baby, Big Sean, Adam Levine. He had a solid list of people on here for a debut artist's album, as well as the remix to What's Poppin' that has DaBaby, Tory Lanez, and Lil Wayne. I mean, yep. for a debut, for a debut album, he had a good amount of features on it. So we'll dive into that real quick. I'll start and say I fucking loved it. I wasn't expecting to. Again, this is the guy that's song was made famous by, sorry, TikTok, and I think I don't want to make this comparison. So guys, before you jump on top of me, just let me speak and I'll justify it. Logic retiring, quote unquote, retiring. And then Jack Harlow coming out of nowhere and putting together a pretty damn good debut album. That it's good timing because I think Jack Harlow nailed it here. I really genuinely enjoyed the whole thing. I liked pretty much all of the songs. It was kind of like Cudi's album where you could just put it on and almost all the songs kind of flow together really easily, especially Cudi's album. I forgot to mention that, but each song like transitions into the next, which is kind of like what Astroworld did. And so whenever I hear albums do that, I get that vibe. But shit, dude, I liked it. Sue me. The song with Chris Brown was surprisingly good. Who knew Chris Brown and Jack Harlow were going to sound good? I really liked the Big Sean song, Lil Baby. Even Adam Levine did really well. I really liked it. And I like the What's Poppin' remix. Tory Lanez and Lil Wayne in there go off. The Baby's in there too, but he does the DaBaby thing. I liked it. I don't know if I have more to say other than the fact that I enjoyed myself. What about you, Mitch?
Well, I didn't get around to this album. I listened to a couple of tracks, so I didn't listen to it all the way through. I saw that there was a Bryson Tiller feature, so I listened to Love Is Dro. And that song kind of like, I was like, well, shit, this sounds like it's not really for like a dude to be listening to like the first song that they play like off this album. So I was like, yeah, I don't know how I feel, but I listened to like the first couple of songs and like the Rendezvous, Face of My City with featuring Lil Baby. And those songs are good. Like, I mean, it was good. I'll have to listen to it all the way through to kind of get my full review, but yeah, that's pretty much all my thoughts. Matt, what did you think of this album?
I was a little bit, not quite as high on it as Logan was. I think that he does have some good flow. He definitely had some good lines and good verses. Some of the features were kind of hit and miss, in my opinion. I don't need to hear Chris Brown's voice anymore. I've heard it plenty. He wasn't really doing anything different on this one. Big Sean's verse was kind of whack. I don't know. Big Sean's kind of hit and miss as well. I can't remember. He had one line where I like had to like pause and like be like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it through this song, but a lot of the beats were pretty generic. And it was kind of tough to tell when one song ended and another one began. And he did kind of one of my biggest pet peeves. I know he's been putting out a bunch of EPs since like 2011 and stuff, so he's been working a while. But on your debut album, I don't know how much you can really like complain about the problems of being famous if I had no idea who you are the week before. Like, there just wasn't really that credibility there, in my opinion. And yeah, so, you know, I think there was definitely some good spots, but overall it was a lot of just kind of like middle of the road stuff for me. So that's kind of where my 3 out of 5 came on. If this was, you know, on, I'm interested in it, and you know, he's a young kid, so I'll definitely take a look at his next project, just if he can continue to develop a little bit more, like kind of get a bit more of a unique angle on things. I think he's really got some chops, and I look forward to seeing what all we get from him.
Yeah, I damn well could have just been on a high from Kid Cudi's album. That's always a possibility. I could have just been super excited about listening to Kid Cudi because I listened to Kid Cudi first and then Jack Harlow back to back. So I could have just been on a high, but I'll give it another playthrough this week and just kind of like reevaluate maybe. But apparently it a lot of mixed reactions to it I've seen. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that you felt iffy about it, and I really liked it. It's
happening all over.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what the streets are saying.
Yeah, the streets are talking, and they're not sure about Jack Harlow. But but I think he was a lot. I liked his flow. I mean, he didn't just come off like a rapper that's just gonna come in and rap about guns and girls and booze and shit. Like,
yeah,
he seemed like he had something to say in a few songs. But again, like you said, Matt, this dude's song, his debut song, really kind of got famous on TikTok. He has a video making app to credit for his success. So I don't know how, you know, it is what it is, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's what we got to say about Jack Carlo. Do you guys want to get into one of my favorite lists to discuss going into a new year? That's the top 10 anticipated movies of the next year.
Yep.
we got 10 films. I'll go out and say that I struggled making this list.
Same.
Considering the fact that we had movies from 2020 and 2021 on this list, because all of our shit from this year got pushed to next year. So it's almost like I had like 25 movies I had to get down to 10. And I really struggled, and some of them that aren't on my list, I'm upset about. Like, I'm sorry. They just didn't make the cut. So I guess you guys know the drill. I'll start it out and we'll just go back to back. And we'll just, if we have to talk, we'll talk. If not, we'll just move on through. Number 10 for me is A Quiet Place Part 2. I feel like half of our explanations for these are going to be, yeah, I was really looking forward to it this year, but to next year. I wish I would have written down the new release dates for some of these. I could pull them up real quick, but yeah, Quiet Place Part 2. I really enjoyed Part 1. Not sure how you guys thought about Part 1, but I really enjoyed it. Okay, so apparently the new release date is April 23rd, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that John Krasinski delivers again with the directing and the writing, and I bet he is, but yeah, you know, we'll see. What you got at your number 10, Matt?
My number 10, releasing the same day, 23rd of April, 2021, is Last Night in Soho. To anyone who knows my film preferences, you probably will be scratching your head wondering why I'm excited for a psychological horror film. However, then you read the next line that it's directed by Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
And starring Anya Taylor-Joy, so she's very hot right now, coming off Queen's Gambit. But yeah, Edgar Wright's one of my favorite directors. I really like Scott Pilgrim. That's one of my favorite movies. And then the Hot Fuzz trilogy with Simon Pegg. And then Baby Driver is also a really good movie. So yeah, just anything that guy touches is worth looking forward to. And is that number 10, since it's, you know, a little bit outside my preferences, but I'll definitely give it a look. What's where are you starting your list off at, Mitch?
At number 10, I am also kind of going out on a limb with this movie. I just recently heard about it and am just looking forward to the dynamic between the two main actors. But it's a film called Deep Water, and it stars Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas, who are currently dating in the real world. So if you're listening, many of you probably don't know, but Ana de Armas is my girl. So she's like, I loved her in Knives Out. I loved her in previous movies of the past, Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves. And also can't forget her in Blade Runner 2049. And she's also done a couple other like smaller movies that were not that bad, but weren't that great either. But she's a great actress, and she's going to be pretty much like the new on the scene actress of next year. So looking forward to this movie. The screenplay is actually written by one of the guys that writes Euphoria, or the main guy that writes the Euphoria TV show, Sam Levinson. And this was supposed to be released this year in November, but I believe it's going to be released in, I think, August of next year. But it's basically like a psychological thriller. It's kind of reminds me of the movie Gone Girl, which Ben Affleck was in that movie, and that was a really good movie. So I'm kind of looking forward to that and looking forward to maybe seeing a trailer. I don't know if they've released one yet or not, but looking forward to seeing that movie as my number 10. Logan, what do you got at number 9?
Number 9 is something I actually kind of forgot about, but the more the kind of news that we'll discuss, kind of the rumors that are floating around for Marvel right now, you know what they are. We've discussed them for like the past like 12 episodes. This is the movie I kind of forgot about, and that's Morbius, the Sony Marvel vampire flick starring Jared Leto, now releasing March 21st, March 18th, 2021. The more rumors we hear about this Marvel universe, and I'll save it because, well, actually, you heard it last week.
Yeah, but,
all these rumors, it just gets me more excited for what Sony's cooking up in terms of Marvel movies. And I'm a fan of Jared Leto. I think he's an underappreciated actor. His portrayal of Joker wasn't the greatest in my
eyes. Cup of tea.
But I'm very confident that he's going to do pretty okay here in Morbius. So, I'm excited to check it out. It looks kind of like a action horror kind of vibe. So, and then of course, obviously with the end scene in the trailer is him having a conversation with Michael Keaton from Spider-Man Homecoming. It just makes me think that they've, God damn it, Marvel. God damn it. They're getting me excited for shit. Matt, what's your number 9? What you got going on?
My number 9 is Luca from Pixar. So basically that gets it on the list no matter what. Looks like it's coming out in June, and it's described as a coming of age adventure set in Italy. So just... And just like the pictures from it look like it's going to be like the very picturesque like coast countryside of Italy. So it just looks beautiful. There's not really too much details. I don't recognize the previous work by the director Enrico Casarosa. But it looks like he's been involved on lots of other, not just Pixar, but DreamWorks movies in the past. So I'm all in, looking forward to it. There's not too much known about it yet, so I'll keep the century short. So Mitch, what's next on your list?
Well, next on my list is Tomb Raider 2/ Uncharted. I couldn't decide which one to put here because I feel like I'm looking forward to the second Tomb Raider with Alicia Vikander, but at the same time, I'm also looking forward to Uncharted and where they take that franchise. So I'm not really sure. I'm looking forward to both of those action style of films. And I'm, to be honest, I'm not sure of either release date. I'm trying to look up Tomb Raider 2's release date, but they have like no information on it because I'm that might not even be in production yet, so that might not even come out until 2022. So looking forward to both of those movies, but that's what I have at number 9. Logan, what do you have at number 8?
My number 8 is Black Widow, movie we were supposed to get this year, damn it. But currently slated for May 7th, which is the typical, I think, Marvel May first weekend date. So I'm not surprised they kind of rescheduled it for there. But yeah, I don't really have much to say here. It's kind of on here because I'm excited where they're taking the MCU, especially with all the announcements we got last week. I'm very intrigued to see Black Widow just so we can get it out of the damn way. I'm tired of waiting to see this damn movie. Give us Scarlett Johansson, please. Just Just let us see the damn movie.
Let's Disney. Do it.
Disney, you know what to do. Just put it on Disney Plus. Just fucking do it. just do it, please. They're putting Wonder Woman on there. It's the same thing. Just come on. Just put it on Disney Plus already. Before, I don't want to have to wait 6 more months to see Black Widow. Come on, man. Matt, what you got?
So I didn't realize slashes were allowed. So this will make my choice a little bit easier. My number 8 was originally just Wicked, but I'm also going to do Slash In the Heights. Two musicals that got famous on Broadway. Wicked, obviously star-making role for Idina Menzel as Elphaba, and she's coming back. She's running it back in the movie version, so you'll hear her perform all her greats. And then In the Heights was basically what made Lin-Manuel Miranda famous. He did a good job with that and then was allowed to keep working, and he did a little thing called Hamilton. So definitely excited to see where it all started for him. So yeah, my number 8 are those two musicals, Wicked and In the Heights. Mitch, what's your next one?
Well, just as a honorable mention, I want to mention both of those movies, because I'm looking forward to seeing how they transfer to like the big screen. I was fortunate enough to see Hamilton live, not with Lin-Manuel, but I just am looking forward to seeing both of those musicals transfer to the movie big screen.
Yep.
But at number 8, I have The Eternals. Now, this movie, we haven't even gotten a trailer for this movie, so I really don't know what to expect. But knowing Marvel and Disney and what they can do and the big name actors and actresses that they have for this film, I feel like it's going to just blow people away, and it's the next step in what they're planning on doing for phase. What phase are we on? 4 or 5?
Four.
So I think I'm really eager to see what they're going to be doing for this film and potential another franchise that they could do. Logan, what do you got at number 7?
7, I got another one that I forgot about until I kind of looked at the release calendar for the year. Slated to come out June 11th is Ghostbusters Afterlife. Revisit to the Ghostbusters world, starring Paul Rudd, the original cast, the OGs, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd are coming back for it, as well as, I'm sure, Ernie Hudson will be in there too, as well as starring a new cast of kids. One of them being Finn Wolfhard, the main kid from Stranger Things. I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to it. I don't want to sit here and pretend I'm a out of this world Ghostbusters fan, but I do enjoy the movies. I even enjoyed the shitty female remake from 2016. I thought it was fine for what it was. Although I think it would have just been funnier if they took those 4 actresses and put them in another scenario. I don't think they needed to bring Ghostbusters along with them. But yeah, I'm excited. I really can't wait to see what they do with this this movie. It's written and directed by the son of the original director and writer. So I'm here for it. I'm really excited. Jason Reitman, sorry, is his name. So I'm really excited to see what they do with this new direction with the series. So yeah, that's my number 6. What'd you get, Matt?
For was it number 6 or number 7? I think number 7.
Number 7. Yeah.
Yep. So I have Black Widow. No need to repeat much about it. Just want to get phase 4 started. It's always sort of most exciting. I feel like this is one of the first like true reboots we've had. Well, the MCU has been huge. So I'm just excited where they kind of start what kind of dangling threads they give us to start speculating on and research through comics about, and just how this all fits into the larger mythos that they're gonna sort of rebuild from the ending of Endgame. So yeah, my number seven, Black Widow. Mitch, what's your number seven?
At number seven, I have Sherlock Holmes 3. I feel like this movie was just recently announced a while ago. Maybe not. Maybe it was announced a little bit longer ago. I can't remember, but I feel like it's been kind of I've been seeing Robert Downey posting stuff on Instagram and about it, or maybe I'm thinking of shout out to Boss Logic. Maybe he posted something. I can't remember, but I've been seeing like hype around this movie for a while now, for at least the past like week or so. And looking forward to just seeing what they have to do in the third film of this now trilogy of movies. The first two are really good and funny, so just looking forward to what they can do in the third one. Logan, what do you got? What do you got at number six?
Shout out.
As my dog is just going crazy. She's a big Robert Downey Jr. fan.
Aren't we all?
Number six for me is Godzilla versus Kong.
I'll piggyback on that and say me too.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so yeah, same position. Yeah, currently slated for May 21st, 2021, obviously. I think also getting put on HBO Max.
Confirmed, yep.
I would really love to see this movie in a theater, however. You know, a movie, you can't go and see a Godzilla movie not in IMAX. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I saw the mediocre Godzilla King of the Monsters film in IMAX, and while the movie was, in my opinion, pretty bad, and even debated leaving at a couple points, it was still a kick-ass monster movie action. Yeah. And I'm looking for the same exact thing with Godzilla versus Kong. Millie Bobby Brown and Kyle Chandler are supposed to return from the sequel to Godzilla, so I'm here for it. I've been, ever since they did the new Kong Skull Island movie and said like, oh, well, they kind of take place in the same kind of universe. I was like, oh, okay, then I'm interested.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see how that movie goes. If I can't see it in a theater and theaters are doomed by May, then I'll settle for HBO Max, but I'll just try to go to a buddy's place where I know has the biggest TV possible and watch it there.
Yeah. Just get the boom and sound. That's really all you need to.
Yeah. You can't be watching Godzilla versus Kong on your laptop. Your speakers on your laptop aren't going to do it justice. So what you got, Matt?
Yeah. Nothing. Just pretty much same thing.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm just excited to see sort of another big monster movie. A big fan of the original sort of, well, I mean, the rebooted series, the rebooted modern series. I feel like they're doing it right. And just having the two monsters go toe-to-toe, I'm interested to see how they get them in the ring together. So that's basically it, my thoughts on Godzilla versus Kong. So, Mitch, what you got?
At number six, I have Morbius. Just looking, I just want to know what this movie's going to, whether or not it's going to tie into anything MCU wise, or, like the potential for maybe a Venom tie in at some point, or I don't really know much about it. I just know that Jared Leto's Morbius and I'm looking forward to it. hopefully he'll do justice to Morbius, unlike you did to Joker, like Logan was saying earlier. So, Logan, what do you got in your top five?
Well, kind of piggybacking off of what Mitch said, my number five is Venom, Let There Be Carnage. The sequel to Venom, I didn't hate Venom like a lot of fans did. I think it would have been better rated R. I know they made that last minute switch and cut a shitload of footage out of the film that would have made it rated R. Mm-hmm. I think that was a stupid move, honestly. Especially with movies like Deadpool that prove that superhero movies can be rated R and they will still make a fuck ton of money regardless of little kids can't go see it. I'm excited here, man. With the end credits scene of Venom teasing Woody Harrelson playing Carnage, I'm really intrigued to see how Woody Harrelson, a traditionally comedic actor, takes on Carnage. However, he looked pretty creepy in that insane asylum, you know, in his straight jacket. So I'm excited. It's slated for June 25th. I'm excited to see what they go and how they take this forward, and maybe we get a Spider-Man tie-in in the end credits or something. I don't know. I mean, they've been talking about this for a while, and with Spider-Man possibly doing this multiverse thing, you got to think that Venom and Carnage and Spidey are going to meet up at some point soon, and Morbius. So, Matt, what you got for your number five?
My number five is sort of in the same vein of the Ghostbusters, Top Gun Maverick, the sort of next generation of the classic 80s Tom Cruise vehicle. Basically, the main character is going to be Rooster, who is the son of Goose, RIP, if you haven't seen that, and have
RIP, RIP.
So then from the original, it won't just have Tom Cruise, but it'll also have the iconic Val Kilmer as Iceman. So I'm sure that there'll be there'll be some friction there. So
that'll be cool.
Definitely. It was already delayed from 2019 to 2020. That delay was to, quote, allow the production to work out all the complex flight sequences. So you have to think it's going to have some pretty intricate stuff if it was already delayed a year before the coronavirus even existed. So, yeah, that's my number six. Or no, number five, my number five. Mitch, what's starting your top five?
Well, I completely forgot about Top Gun, to be honest. that would have probably made my list at I don't know what number, but it would have probably made my list at some point. So an honorable mention to Top Gun. Shout out to Iceman. Looking forward to Val Kilmer's return to really the big screen. I don't think he's been on like a big screen movie in a while.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, cause I know he was looking rough for a while. So, but yeah. My number five is The Suicide Squad. Looking forward to this movie, big cast, and it looks like they're just going all out on this. DC's finally like, it's not going to be a soft reboot. It's going to be like a hard going all out reboot for this franchise, because I feel like that's what they need to do. I can't remember if this movie is speculated to be rated R or not. But if it is rated R, this movie will be awesome, because I'm pretty sure it's directed by James Gunn. This movie is going to be, from just the behind-the-scenes trailer, or like the behind-the-scenes trailer that they put out on YouTube, the stuff, the action stuff that they are doing in this movie looks ridiculous. So just looking forward to all the ridiculousness and large cast that they have involved in this movie. And that's about it. Logan, what do you got at number four?
Number four is a movie I didn't think was going to crack my top 10 when I was weeding it down. But the more and more I thought about it, I was like, I am damn excited for July 16th so I can check out Uncharted.
That is also my number four.
Let's go, Matt. Me and you, me and you linking up.
Yeah.
I guess you can piggyback off of me. But yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of the series on PlayStation, and hope they continue the series. I think it would be a missed opportunity if they're not secretly working on an Uncharted game right now and they debut it and release it kind of around maybe holiday 2021 or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'm excited. Tom Holland is going to be a great Nathan Drake.
Yep. Very Mark quippy. Wahlberg.
Huh?
Oh, just Tom Holland is very quippy, much like Nathan Drake. Sort of a skill set he's shown to have.
An older Mark Wahlberg as Victor Sullivan. I've got high hopes for this, man. I hope it's a nice Indiana Jones, Tomb Raider type situation. Maybe a little bit of the Goonies mixed in there. I'm not a huge Goonies guy, but that vibe. Yeah, I'm super excited. Just like Mitch said, super excited for the Uncharted film. Mm-hmm. Yeah, any more to piggyback off of that there, Matt?
The only thing I think that is kind of funny about it, well, there's a couple things that are funny or interesting. So Mark Wahlberg was originally going to play Nathan Drake when they got the idea for the movie back in 2010. But just I think it's funny that he shifted to be the mentor. Antonio Banderas doesn't have a character name attached to him. He just says that he's in it. So that's cool. And then Chloe. What?
Says Brian Cranston's in this thing too.
What?
Google's okay. Telling me this.
All right.
Sorry to cut you off, but it says. Let's see what on IMDb says. Hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. The and then who they have for Chloe definitely looks the part. Her filmography is a bit small, but that's never really a bad thing. If you've got the look for it, so yeah, man. I think it should be. A good little romp. Looking forward to it. Any Bryan Cranston confirmation?
I don't think so. I do not think that was factual.
Dang.
I was going to say Antonio Banderas and Bryan Cranston together as like the villain duo or something. That'd be
great. Oh, that'd be so much fun.
But yeah. Sorry about that. Sorry for the tease.
You're good.
Also, let me make it clear that my background right now is not a black screen. It's just black in my room right now. I just realized.
That's funny. So, Mitch, what's your number four?
My number four, this was tough because I know we've talked about this movie for so many weeks now. But at number four, I have Spider-Man 3. Looking forward to this movie. I think I've said that like for every movie that I've rated or like reviewed now. Yeah, I feel like we've talked about this enough, like that there's not really much left to say except for like, man, I just hope they release a trailer at some point, like sometime soon, just release a teaser trailer, like give me like 30 seconds or like 45 seconds of just like information that I can relate to what is going to be in this movie, because this movie is going to be epic alongside of, you know, Doctor Strange too. And just all the stuff that they have planned. I feel like, it's just going to be epic. I feel like, there's nothing else left to say about it. Logan, what do you got at number three?
Yeah, I'll quickly say that while tomorrow night when we record last week's episode, we'll probably mention the rumors that kind of circulated over the weekend. I know a lot more popped up, even though they're rumors that we've discussed for the past 2 weeks, kind of confirmation on Doc Ock's part. I don't know if it's 100% confirmed, but it's pretty damn with where there's smoke, there's fire. Matt has said that a few times. but yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow/last week. My number three is The Suicide Squad. Mitch hit it pretty well in the head. I won't babysit it too long, other than the fact that I'm super excited. I was weirded out when they said they were going to reboot it 2 years after the original came out. But then when I heard James Gunn was going to be attached, and I trust him now with big team up movies, Mitch hit it. I'm stoked. This better be rated R. I like to think that Warner Brothers might make it rated R. especially if they're going to also throw it up on HBO Max as well. Like, just give it to us in R. Like, come on. And we're going to have a great next couple months when all these trailers start dropping.
Yep. It's going to be fun.
We're going to have a fucking field day on the Binge Boys.
We might need the just trailers only episode.
We might have to do something like that. Although they'll probably get us and release one after the other. Week by week.
Yeah.
But yeah, super excited. Like Mitch said, all-star cast, James Gunn reboot, tie it into the DC movies. Let's go. Let's get it. Matt, what's your number three?
My number three is The Matrix 4. So I'm a pretty good fan of the current Matrix trilogy. I think that it's just a very interesting story. Were all three entries as great as the first one? No, the quality was a bit off, but I hope that having, you know, 20 or so years after the trilogy's ended, they've come back with some more ideas to sort of have it fresh. And it really ended on kind of a new note, so I feel like it'll have to be almost completely brand new. A lot of the star power that made the original great is back. The Wachowski sisters are directing again. Keanu's starring. Trinity and Niobe are played by their original actors, and then a bunch of undisclosed roles for big actors, two of which Neil Patrick Harris and Jonathan Groff. I'm very interested to see how they work those guys in. But yeah, man, excited for The Matrix 4 as my number three. Mitch, what's your number three?
My number three is Godzilla versus Kong. Another movie that you guys have touched on, and just kind of to just wrap it up real quick, I am looking forward to seeing this on the big screen, like you guys are saying. These movies, like specifically Godzilla movies, are just epic on the big screen, and I can't imagine really seeing it any other way. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully seeing this movie on the big screen and not having to watch it on, I'm fortunate enough to have like a big TV to watch movies on, but I don't want to have to watch a movie of this caliber, I guess, on that TV. I'd rather watch it in theaters. So hopefully the theaters are going to be like back to thriving and stuff like that by the time this gets released. So Logan, what do you got at number two?
Man, hopefully Mitch, back when this released, the original movie released back when we were in high school in 2013. And if you remember my excitement around this movie when it came out, you wouldn't be surprised to know that on June 4th, you know, my happy little ass is going to be in a theater. There's no way I'm watching this on HBO Max for the first time. The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. I fucking love the Conjuring series, bro. Like what James Wan did with the original Conjuring movie kind of shaped the way modern horror is going, at least modern paranormal horror. No one thought that the dude that directed, well, I guess he directed Saw, but I guess I never thought that the dude that directed like a Fast and Furious movie was going to be able to make one of the most iconic, honestly, probably one of the bigger cinematic universes out there right now, besides DC with the Annabelle movies and the Nun and all the Conjuring movies. Like it's a very successful universe for Warner Brothers. And I'm really fucking hyped. It was originally supposed to come out this year on September 11th. Which, I don't know about going to see a scary movie on September 11th. It just doesn't feel right. But yeah, they're going June 4th. And I'm excited. It's based on another case that Ed and Lorraine Warren investigated back in the day. So super excited. I just read why it's called The Devil Made Me Do It. Apparently it marks the first time in history that a murder suspect claimed demonic possession as his defense. So very excited to see how this has happened. I've heard rumors that it's going to be it's still going to be the horror movie that the Conjuring franchise is, but it's also going to be a court movie. A lot of media attention around this case.
Weird.
Yeah, so I'm very intrigued here. So number two, Conjuring 3. Matt, what's your runner up here?
My runner up is one that we talked about when the trailer was dropped. So finally something we do have a trailer for. It is Dune. I might have been a bit lukewarm on it when the trailer dropped. However, between then and now, I just did some research into just the universe of what all has to do with that. And there is a lot there. There is a whole cinematic universe of detail they could go into. Definitely makes the Song of Ice and Fire look like children's books in terms of just the amount of stuff going on and opportunities to draw from with that. And then checking out the people involved, obviously the star-studded cast with Timothée Chalamet, Josh Brolin, Zendaya, Dave Bautista, Stellan Skarsgård. Yeah, so I could keep going on that. And then the director, Denis Villeneuve, big fan of Arrival and Blade Runner 2049. So very sci-fi adjacent, but still sort of humanity is at like the center of it. And just after researching Dune, that's kind of the angle that Frank Herbert was going for when he wrote the novel. So I feel like they'll be able to hopefully bring the same kind of gravitas to the movie as exists in those doorstops of books for the Dune series. So that's my number two. Mitch, what is your runner up?
Well, my number two, to kind of piggyback on yours, is also Dune. I am looking forward to this movie. Very highly anticipated on my list why it's listed at number two. Matt, you pretty much touched on all the stuff that I was going to say about it. The cast is amazing for this film, and I feel like they kind of made it so that way they could bring back many people for sequels and stuff like that. So hopefully, I know with a recent article that I read, the director, how did you pronounce his name? Denis Villeneuve?
Yeah.
Anyway, he had said that something along the lines of hopefully these movies going directly to HBO Max doesn't kill the franchise. So I'm really just hoping that that's true, that like hopefully they can either release it in theaters and also release it to streaming, because this is a franchise that I'd love to see just go like far and beyond expectations of making sequels and just doing very well, because he's a really good director. After watching Blade Runner 2049, if you haven't seen that movie, it is a long movie, but at the same time, it's visually just incredible. Like, I don't know how many people are like playing Cyberpunk at this point, but imagine a movie that was, or a game that was based off of a movie. That's what Cyberpunk is. And Blade Runner 2049 and the original Blade Runner itself are just stellar films. But yeah, that's what I have at number two, Dune. Looking forward to it. Logan, what do you have at number one?
My happy little ass, Mitch, on December 17th, 2021, am going to be crying and laughing at and just genuinely enjoying. Hopefully, maybe if COVID backs down and things kind of start, like you said, kind of returning to somewhat normal in the midsummer. I think that's the, I guess, rumor that, you know, with these vaccines and stuff that they're starting to try to start pushing, hopefully by like June or July, we'll start to see a kind of return to normal summer 2021, but so maybe they could pull it up a couple months. Spider-Man 3.
Yep. Same.
We talked about it a lot last week.
Yeah. And,
so I don't really need to go into it any more than what Mitch just said. Although I just remembered another situation that kind of backs up the multiverse idea. Spoiler alert for Spider-Man Far From Home. But you know the end when J. Jonah Jameson
yep.
there and he knows, first of all, not only the fact that he's from Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies, but also the fact that he knows who Spider-Man is. Do you think Doctor Strange is going to help navigate him to a world where Spider-Man's identity is not known or going back in time? Are they going to get the time stone back up in this bitch?
Yeah, I wonder if they kind of regret putting that in, if there is this multiverse, since you know it's the same actor playing different versions of JJ.
Well, we don't need to get it. But yeah, that's my number one. It's slated for December 17th, but hopefully, you know, if things calm down, they can move it up a couple months. Maybe give us like an October or something release date. That'd be pretty hype. Maybe like the final summer movie to kind of go out with a bang. I'm really upset that movies like Dune and a couple others didn't make my list. It was really tough for me to make this. I hated taking Dune off, and the Eternals and Shang-Chi and the Seven Rings and all these movies that we're supposed to get. The movies that I didn't put on are the movies that I don't know a lot about. So like the Eternals, like Mitch said, like we don't even have a damn trailer for this movie, and it's supposed to come out in like 4 months or something. Like, come on, give us something. I feel like I'm somebody who's like held out from like, you know, like something they're addicted to for forever. And it's like, Marvel, you've been quiet all year or something. That's all I got to say.
Yep.
Matt, you got any more to piggyback? That was your number one, right?
That was my number one. Yeah, man. Nothing too much. I feel like it'll be a whole up until the day the movie is released, there will be speculation about what sort of form it'll take in terms of how the multiverse will interact and stuff. And that's going to be fun, man. I feel like as the other movies sort of come out, like the Eternals and Black Widow, they'll sort of also get some ideas and theories in the mix for that. And that's kind of going to be the first big one of Phase 4. So should be tight, man. Mitch, what's your number one?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mitch. One more thing before Mitch goes through. It says this article is saying that the rumored title is Spider-Man Home Run, which...
Oh, that sucks.
If they nail it, this fucking movie is going to be a home run. But Mitch, go ahead, hit us with your number one. Close us out. What you got?
My number one, which I'm surprised it wasn't on either of you guys' lists, is the one and only James motherfucking Bond, No Time to Die, starring Daniel Craig as James Bond and Ana de Armas as the Bond girl. And then we have, because, you know, I got to bring my girl back into it from the beginning. But then we also have Rami Malek as the villain, who I think is going to be really interesting to see as a villain. But we have just Leah Seydoux, Lashana Lynch, and then also the director writer for this movie, Cary Joji Fukunaga, who has basically done True Detective. He did Maniac on the Netflix series Maniac. Mm. Just tons of content from him. Awesome director. I'm just really looking forward to this movie. Like I've said for every other movie that is on this list, just it's been a while since like I've been like this hyped around a James Bond film, and I feel like this is my most hyped for a Bond film that I've ever been, just because I feel like it could be Daniel Craig's last one. And also it just is directed by a phenomenal. Oh my God. I did it twice. Phenomenal. Oh my God. Phenomenal. Director. So I just am looking forward to it. And just can't wait to see this movie, which I think it comes out in April of next year. Hopefully, please don't get pushed back again. I've been waiting for this movie for so long. I was looking forward to seeing it like three different times this year, and it kept getting pushed back. And now I'm just very stoked to see it come April. So that's what I got. That's my list. Logan, do you want to close this out?
That's another one I was really upset that didn't make my list.
Yep.
And that's another one that I think deserves to be seen on a big screen. Just James Bond.
Yeah.
Just with the crazy action. I mean, we've had a trailer for that movie for the last year and a half, it feels. And that's every time it plays where he's like, my turn. And he like flips the headlights up and the guns come out and he just does the wheelies. I'm like, come on, man. Fair, bro. Yeah, guys, that was our top 10 most anticipated movies of 2021. In the next couple weeks, we're gonna get, so just to give the people what's going on, so this episode airs on the 22nd, so I guess Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy whatever. Christmas Eve, recorded today, the run-through for How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I guess you would have heard it by now, but the run-through for The Holiday, rom-com with Kate Winslet, Jack Black, Cameron Diaz, and Jude Law. That comes out the 17th, but you've already heard that. And then we'll do our post-Christmas episode where we'll talk about our holidays. And we'll discuss the finale of The Mandalorian. Hopefully, if you guys get a chance to watch both of them, we'll talk about Soul and Wonder Woman 2. That'll be a kick-ass episode. And then right there into the new year, baby, we're going to start pumping out episodes full of lists. Just lists and lists and lists. So hope you guys are ready for it. I'm really excited. I was telling Emily earlier today that the list season for Binge Boys is one of my favorites. It's y'all's first, so happy to have you along for the ride. But it's my favorite part about the Binge Boys is given the end of the year lists and stuff. So
yeah, man, let's do it.
Hell yeah. So yeah, everybody, Merry Christmas. And we'll see you guys on the 29th. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas.
Cool. Merry Christmas. Peace.
Ho, ho, ho.